The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
Thank you for joining the Radio Today programme. As you can tell by the noise, I'm at a party. Nothing unusual in that, I know. But I'm at the GLR 25th anniversary party. GLR, if you don't know, was the BBC local radio station for London for a little while. It took over from Radio London and it gradually became London Live and then BBC London and then now BBC London 94.9. But for that little period, it was GLR, Greater London Radio. And it produced a lot of people that are still listened to on the radio today, from Chris Evans to Vanessa Feltz to Chris Morris to Danny Baker, Emma Freud, many, many, many others. And we're here to kind of celebrate that, I think, on its 25th birthday. And there is no better person to start with than with the man who invented it, Matthew Bannister. If you were doing GLR on your current Radio 4 show, Last Words, which is a programme of obituaries, what would you say about GLR?
Well, GLR was a sparky and creative teenager brutally snuffed out after a life of only about 11 years. And I mean, it was a station which, extraordinarily, all these people have gathered to celebrate 25 years on, even though it went out of business some years ago. And I think that says something about the affection with which people held it. And it was certainly a station which had a very affectionate audience, not a huge one, but an audience that really passionately engaged with it. It spawned some amazing people's careers, as you said, and we had a lot of fun doing it, and that's why we're all here tonight.
You must be very proud of it, and you've had some huge successes in your life, not least, you know, Radio 1 and running all of BBC Radio and BBC Marketing and all sorts of grand jobs. Did you ever have more job satisfaction than running GLR?
I think it was about the best fun we ever had, because, I mean, we had to, you know, this was a partnership between you and I, of course. So, you know, I'm not going to take all the credit or blame for it. You've got to take some of it too. But we had an enormous amount of fun, and I was trying on the way here to work out why it was that we had so much fun. I think there were two main reasons. One of them was the kind of siege mentality, because when we started GLR, it was a three-year experiment, which the BBC Board of Governors were going to close down if it didn't work. So all of us working there had something to prove. And I think there's nothing more wonderful in uniting people than having a common enemy. So we had that. The same thing was that we effectively started from scratch and we recruited an enormous number of sparky young people, including some of the names you've mentioned, who all wanted to have a go at doing something radical. And that was a very bonding experience too. And so people were making the rules up as they went along, including you and I think some of the time.
Well, I think so, and one of the things that we shouldn't forget is that although the initial BBC managers who helped us set it up and gave us some freedom were very encouraging, the next generation after they'd moved on were anything but. And we did, as you said, siege mentality. We did feel, didn't we, that we had our backs to the door and that it was being knocked down by the Visigoths.
Yeah, well, no, it definitely was a real threat. And we were doing something incredibly radical because we said we're going to close down Radio London and we're going to play for two weeks, we're going to play back-to-back music of a kind that is heard nowhere else on the radio. And then we're going to start this new radio, which is going to be variously called Rock and Rolling News or Music Radio for Grown-Ups. And we're going to start a new format, which is 50% speech, 50% music, aimed at an audience of 25 to 45-year-olds, currently unserved by the teeny bop Radio 1 and the aging Radio 2. And there was a gap in the London market for that. And, you know, it was kind of, we perfectly targeted that audience. But whether the BBC could see that and whether the BBC appreciated it was another matter. And they came along with their speech shoulders, which was a strategy announced from the top without any consultation.
It was all speech at breakfast and drive time.
Exactly. Suddenly, this station, which we carefully honed a station which was 50% speech and 50% music at all times, so it felt almost like a music station, and it was the kind of station where you could hear Stairway to Heaven at breakfast time. No other station at that time was doing it. And then they came along and announced this new policy, and I don't know if you remember this, but I certainly offered to resign as a result of that and was calmed down. down and talked down and persuaded to stay on the grounds that it was a BBC strategy and therefore might not stick. And so we managed to continue.
Long after you'd left, well, 2 years after you'd left, I offered to resign and they said, oh, all right then. So who have we got here? We've got the radio previewer from The Guardian. It's David Hepworth, but we think of you as the presenter of a programme compiled by, let me think, David Hepworth. That's how things happened in those days.
I think it probably was. I think, Trevor, you said to me, would you like to be on the radio? I said, what do I have to do? He said, you just come along and play some bloody good records.
That's not bad, is it?
And that's pretty much what I did. I think
it wouldn't work today, though.
It wouldn't work. Yeah, the kids will never go for it. Absolutely never go for it. And I had 10 years of doing it. And during that time, I had no interference from anybody whatsoever. And it was one of the greatest professional experiences of my life.
Richard Skinner is here. Now, after GLR, you did lots of big stations. Did you ever have as good a time as you did at GLR?
No, because GLR was a unique combination of people, and the people made the station. And what was who came up with the logo Music Radio for Grown-Ups?
I think that was the Boy Bannister.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was absolutely right, and it was, what, 20, 30 years ahead of its time. Great people, great music, great guests. It was unique, and it became a template for what Radio 6 is, or 6 Music, and yet oddly the BBC chose to shut it down.
Well, here is somebody who knows something about all these stations. John Meyer, you were head of music for GLR and you were music manager, I think, for 6 Music.
I think I was music manager for both.
But you'd been head of music for Capital Radio before
briefly,
that.
I had indeed.
What was the difference between Capital and GLR when you came to us?
Well, Capital was very much a hit music radio station, but Capital had also been doing a thing on Sundays called CFM, which was a split frequency station, which Richard Skinner was on, where we were then playing the Brave New World of CDs and album tracks. So I did have a bit of experience of more alternative music, and GLR was just that writ large.
Do you think that a station like GLR would work again?
Well, 6 Music is obviously carried on the music side of it, but without the high degree of speech content. I think there is a room for sensible music and sensible speech, but the BBC obviously lost faith in GLR, sadly, and it didn't survive, so would they do it again?
Now, here's the thing, guys. None of us will see 40 again, or indeed 50. I'm looking at Richard.
Yeah,
maybe,
I'm looking at you.
Maybe even 55. Are we just members of the British Legion of radio? Has it just changed and nobody cares?
I think the spirit of what happened at GLR lives on in loads of places, mainly on the internet, actually. Not necessarily in what you call radio, but it's only in the internet that people kind of open the microphone and do whatever is the first thing that comes into their heads. And that's certainly what I did at GLR and what a lot of people did at GLR. And people relate to spontaneity.
I still firmly believe that that GLR format with modern music would work as well today as it did 20 years ago.
Let's go and see Global Radio and see if we can sell them the idea. What do you think, John?
I think what was great about GLR is that the presenter and the producer would go into the studio with an idea of what they were going to do, but then the phones would light up and the audience would interact and the show would go off in a completely different way. And I was mainly based in the library, and there'd be presenters rushing in the whole time during the course of their show looking for things because they'd suddenly had inspiration or the audience had suggested something.
Younger listeners won't have a clue what you mean by the library.
I know.
What was in that library, John?
There was actually vinyl.
Vinyl!
but mainly CDs.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Go and have a lie down.
It's been a while.
Peter Curran, best known these days for speaking on Radio 4. What did you do at GLR?
I impersonated someone who was a PA, first of all, then became a really terrible producer for Lucy Longhurst's show, and God help Richard Skinner, produced him for about 4 weeks at your behest, Trevor, it has to be said.
I can remember interviewing you and you said something about, when we asked you what are you doing now, you said, I'm making kitchens.
That's right, yeah, I had a small business fitting out office interiors in London, and so I thought the logical move was to come to GLR.
So where did it all go wrong?
Well, it was one of those things when somebody says to you, you know the way you've got lots of really good records, would you like to come on the radio and play them? I was waiting for the tap on the shoulder and the, you're having a fucking laugh, get back in your transit van and start fitting the offices. But the tap never came, Trevor, so...
Janice Long,
Mr. Dan.
I don't think a lot of people remember that you were on GLR, but you
were. I was on
were.
GLR. Yes,
did
I did
the
breakfast
show
with James Cameron. I loved it. I really, really enjoyed it. And I remember you and Matthew asking me if I would join. I was living in Newbury at the time. And I thought, oh, do I really want to do this? And the second I started doing it, I absolutely loved it. And for those reasons, that you always have stories to tell about people like John Prescott, who'd be like, you wake him up, you know, in the morning, because there was always some transport disaster. And you wake him up and you go, oh, hello, Janice, hello, I'm just walking up, just walking up. And then you go on and you go, good morning, good morning. And I always remember the head of the Metropolitan Police telling me he was stark bollock naked as I was talking to him on the phone about something.
The Radio Today programme.
It's the Radio Today programme live from the GLR 25th anniversary party. Lorna Clark is here. What do you run now? Radio 2, Asian Network,
so.
Six Music.
Like all of those. Thank
it
you.
It all must have gone terribly wrong for you when you left GLR.
Well, you keep trying to claim to have fired me.
Well, it was
for
close.
For the record.
Did you leave first?
Can I just say I left, then you fired me.
So you were at the old Radio London when GLR arrived. Did you think that we were, you know, the lunatics taking over the asylum?
No, I tell you what was really exciting was we were BBC folk seeing a very non-BBC launch. And I think for most of the people that worked at GLR, whether they joined GLR at launch or whether they came over from Radio London, which was very few, we were all really excited about this non-BBC launch. And that will always stay with me, actually, because I remember you and Matthew were very keen about, you know, to get the message right about what we were trying to do with this alternative take on a London station. And
as I said, you now are the, I think you're called the manager, aren't you, of Six Music, yeah, as well as Radio 2. Some people say that the ghost of GLR stalks the corridors of Six. Is that about right?
Yeah, I'd say that there's a definite spirit of the original GLR in Six Music, definitely.
Gideon Coe is here. You worked for both. Is there any truth in that?
I think it was slightly overplayed, that connection early on. I think it contains an element of the approach to being passionate about music without being too serious about it. That tone of it has crossed over, and I do credit that as, for me, starting from GLR. So, yeah.
What do you do now at Six Music? And do you get any choice of the music that you play?
I get complete 100% choice of music I play. I present a three-hour programme Monday to Thursday night, which the only stipulation is I have to play a weird number, something like, of the, for instance, 36, 38 records I play, 16 of them have to be from the archive, which can be from a month ago to, you know, 1963 or four. So
that could be quite nice, though, actually.
It
I mean,
can.
as a listener, I feel I kind of like those because they add a bit of variety.
They are, and they do have, there are so many. It still is, even nearly 12 years into our tenure, it still, to some extent, is in places untapped in terms of the, and because we've added to it, because other areas of the BBC have added to it in the meantime, there are still sessions being created, and there's a huge amount of Peel sessions and evening sequence sessions and those going way back into the 60s as well. So it's great to harvest those.
Thanks, Gid. Great to see you.
All right, no worries.
We've met some people who've done quite well since they left GLR. And when I met this next person, I said, what are you doing now, Kate? What are you running? And she said, Western Europe. What are you running Western Europe for, Kate Marsh?
I'm working for Sony Pictures Television and I look after their television networks business in Western Europe.
So that's kind of executive corporate job, isn't it?
It's a very interesting job with a lot of varied things to do on a day-to-day basis, Trevor.
We've worked together at Radio 1 and before that GLR. What do you remember of GLR and what do you think you've taken from it into your supernova career?
I'm not saying that I've got a supernova career. Having said that, I think GLR had a real sense of groundbreaking enthusiasm to do new things. And I think that's been brilliant. And that's been a wonderful thing to take forward.
In these days of interactivity with the World Wide Web, make it easy for your listeners to share their voices with you via Audioboo. They simply download the app to their mobile device, record a boo, and send to your station. It's that simple. And just to prove a point, this ad was recorded as a boo and sent in from the corner shop. Audioboo, sharing voices with the world.
Thank you to everyone at the GLR party. We'll do something similar in a couple of weeks to celebrate LBC's 40th. David Lloyd's radio moments to come, but time now for some rock and rolling news, 2013 style. Here's Roy Martin.
Thank you, Trevor. Back at base then, and the latest news. Magazine and radio company Team Rock has been given funding of £650,000 to create 47 new jobs in Glasgow. That's courtesy of Scottish Enterprise. It'll be interesting to see how they spend that exactly. Staying in Scotland, and Clyde One has secured Gary Barlow to sing at its 40th birthday party. He'll be there along with the usual suspects, including The Saturdays, Little Mix, and of course, McFly. And talking of Take That members, Robbie Williams is off to Heart. He's going to do an intimate gig for them to celebrate the release of his new album. He's swinging both ways, apparently. And last week was Rage R Quarter 3 2013. See radiotoday.co.uk/RageR for quite simply the easiest to use graphs in the country. And that's the latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme.
We start this week with anniversary greetings for possibly the most influential radio programme in the world. The programme of Topical Talks began 56 years ago on the 28th of October 1957. It was Robin Day's idea, and it was nearly called Morning Miscellany, or This Morning, or The Morning Magazine. Eventually it became Today. Alan Skempton was the first presenter. Jack DiManio was the second.
John will be here at this time tomorrow night to tell you a little about what we've got in mind for you for Wednesday morning. But from the Today studio at just about 15 minutes... I can't read your writing. I've got a chap writing it out for me here, the silly fool. I can't read his writing. Well, it's 16 minutes to and a half...
Jack DiManio, who died this week 25 years ago. Jack later hosted Today with John Timpson.
You, of course, have made up your own mind, presumably, in your own personal opinion, which you will be putting to the Cabinet. What is that opinion?
I think I will put it in the Cabinet before I put it anywhere else.
And if the Cabinet decision doesn't coincide with your own personal opinion, you will presumably follow the Cabinet's decision.
It doesn't usually happen.
John Timpson, then with Prime Minister Harold Wilson. Douglas Cameron was another early voice on the Today programme, and this week he's 80.
And LBC 97.3, as you may have realised by now, is celebrating its 40th birthday. On the 8th of October 1973, LBC made broadcasting history by becoming the UK's first commercial radio station.
Happy birthday, Dougie. And there he was back again just days ago on LBC, the station where Dougie had become such a regular fixture. This week last year, Danny Baker found out he and BBC London were to go their separate ways, as he told his listeners.
In fact, a lot of you would be very good. They're calling up, and it's not a joke, where this show has been cancelled amongst, you know, to mix financial sense. Yeah.
I know you have been pixie-ish in the past, Dan,
about mixing up. I found out by... Nobody from the station actually called me. Yeah. Nobody actually would. Why would they? Yeah. It's not professional to call someone who's carried the station on its back during times.
I appreciate you phoning me
to let
me know.
Yeah, I phoned you and I ran because nobody from the... Apparently, when I put it to them, that's not how it's done.
I'm happy to be the noisy poster boy for any of these ludicrous, spiteful, artless, culture-hating cuts. I'm happy to be the noisy poster boy, and I'll be all right.
Danny Baker, a year ago, as he came to the end of his time with BBC London. More controversy this week, 75 years ago, when The War of the Worlds was aired across the states on the Columbia Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, am I on? Ladies and gentlemen, here I am, back of a stone wall that adjoins Mr. Wilmer's garden. From here, I get a sweep of the whole scene. I'll give you every detail as long as I can talk and as long as I can see. More state police have arrived. They're drawing up a cordon in front of the pit. About 30 of them. No need to push the crowd back now. They're willing to keep their distance. The captain's conferring with someone. Can't quite see who.
The programme sounded pretty realistic, and back then you couldn't really check it online or Twitter, so it's said that many people thought the Martians were indeed on their way. Orson Welles was shocked by the response.
Do you think there ought to be a law against such an accident as we had last night, or as a result of that?
I don't know what the legislation would be. I know that almost everybody in radio would do almost anything to avert the kind of thing that has happened, myself included, but I don't know what the legislation would be. We simply... Radio is new and we are learning about the effect it has on people. Learned a terrible lesson.
Orson Welles, it's been said we don't have enough station songs on this podcast, so let's use the 32nd anniversary of this Bristol station launch as a good excuse.
Good morning. My name is Dave Cash, and this is Radio West.
Make it fine, make it good, make it sound just like it should. Make it special with Radio West. Make it love, make it strong, make it so.
So it goes on, the early breaths of Radio West. Staying with launches, this week in 1975, it was Hello Ipswich.
John, how does it feel after 5 years of planning to be sitting in your own studios broadcasting our own programmes?
Well, it's just great, Donald. 5 years is a hell of a long time, and as you well know, we've had to be very patient at times. But here we are, and it's a great thrill to be sitting among all this complex equipment, knowing that it all works and that our small team is all ready to go. Before I hand the microphone back to you, I want to give a very special welcome to all those who have tuned in specially to hear us this morning. I know we both hope to be with our audience for lifetimes to come and to form the very closest links with every section of the community. Everything's on top line and there's a great spirit in the air.
Radio Orwell from Suffolk, launching 39 years ago, later SGR, now Heart. And this is lovely too. Looking back to this week in 1973, Derek Chinnery at Radio 1 announced the new BBC rules on promotional gifts from record companies. A bottle of wine was said to be extravagant. Half was okay. This week, 24 years ago, we said farewell to this voice.
CFOX, the island city.
429 in Montreal at CFOX. Back in the early part of last year, I thought there was a bright future in store for Edison Lighthouse. However, this remains their one claim to fame. Love grows where Rosemary goes.
Roger Scott, whose voice defined the early days of independent local radio. He died this week in 1989. He'd spent 15 years at Capital, famed for his afternoon show, but he was also there on the first day.
3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, we're all standing around, and oh my God, the seconds were ticking away, and there it was, 5 o'clock, and we're all standing together in Studio 4. It was actually, this very studio where I'm sitting now was where Dave Simon said those opening words, and Sir Richard actually said hello.
So with Leslie Douglas resigning this week 5 years ago, Capital Gold launching 25 years ago, the Asian Network going national on DAB 11 years ago, at the end of GCAP this week 5 years ago, those are this week's
Radio Moments.
Thanks, David. More Radio Moments next week. Not sure what else, though, because although I'll be at the BBC Local Radio Gillard Awards, I have been told that a podcast will not be welcome, so I may have to operate in a clandestine fashion or do something completely different. Anyway, thanks for listening this week. It's been a TDC production for Radio Today. Ta-da!